Let's pray and ask God for help as we turn to the Word this morning. Lord, I thank You that You are always with us. You never neglect us. You never fail us. I thank You that You've created us and that You've given us breath. And that whether today we feel weak or strong, You are with us and You are our source. As we turn to the Scripture today, I ask that You would please help us. Help us to learn, help us to be quick to digest what You are putting in front of us, and help us to grow. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'd like to talk on the subject of God is my strength. This past month, and if you had to miss any of the Sundays, they are up online. I really do think that the past three Sundays have been maybe the most important sermons of the whole year. That was good, so I'll say it again. I really think that the last three Sundays have been maybe the most important messages of the whole year. CBCBaltimore.com or iTunes, if you search City Bible Church Baltimore. Listen, so, so good. The paper with the notes and the Bible is still at the back of the room by the bulletins today. You can grab one of those that'll give you the bullet points. But one of the things that we've talked about is that when I make a statement of faith that is based on truth, I can get stronger. There's change on the inside of me. Now, if I just say the sky is purple, there's not any power in that. Nothing changes because it's not purple. Oh, is it purple? Okay, y'all can respond. Y'all can respond. Okay, so but if I say something that is true, there's power in it. There's strength in it. I am changed because my own ears hear what I say. And my spirit receives the truth of God. God who created the world. God who created you. God who knew you when you were in your mother's womb. God who knew the number of hairs on your head. Some of us more than others. God who knew your personality, your sense of humor. You know, mine's a little off, my sense of humor. You know, everyone's got, God knows you and God loves you and God appreciates you, respects you, values you. You are His child. Right? You are His child. And so our focus today from the Word, God is my strength. Can you say that? Can we say that out loud? God is my strength. That was kind of weak. Let's try it. Weak sauce. Let's try it a little stronger. God is my strength. Yes, it's true. I'm going to hit you today with a few, not a hitch, hit's kind of a bad word. I'm going to introduce you to some scriptures on a theme. And this is a great theme. It's up with notes, my site where I post Bible studies, benmalman.com. You plug in the search bar, God is my strength, you will find this. And many, many more verses than we will go through today. Paul writes a letter to his disciple, a pastor, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, Timothy, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus. Now, God certainly has created all humans, but not all humans are exactly the same. In fact, no humans are the same. Right? Okay? So, God has given each of us a portion of strength, and we can choose to receive more strength from God. Now, strength has been defined in a number of different ways. Energy and endurance. Is that helpful? Energy and endurance. But what's really important for us to understand from Scripture is that when God, in my life, in the challenges that I face, God who created me uniquely for who I am as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as somebody who lives in Baltimore, and whoever you are, God created you and He has strength that is available to you, more strength that is available to you by the grace through Jesus. Is that making sense? And it's really important that we get a hold of it, that we access it. Because with as is true of all of God's gifts, He allows us a choice. And that choice includes we can ignore His gifts or we can receive His gifts. We can get introduced to his gifts and then not open them and not put them to use. But what a joy there is. What a strength. What a life change there is on the inside of us when we receive the gifts of God, when we open them, when we put them to use. Am I making any sense? Now, before we do the whole Bible story study, I want to tell you a story. So, Rebecca and I, last Christmas, it was our first time in 4 years, we went back to Portland to be with all our family for Christmas. And we went and saw a movie while we were there. The movie here called Unbroken. Any of you remember when that was out? Anyone see the movie? Okay. So the movie is actually based on a man's life, Louis Zamperini. And actually what happened is Angelina Jolie picked up a book written by the author of Seabiscuit, Laura Hillebrand, which a little bit heavy for your summer reading, but is a really good read, called Unbroken. And it's the story of Louis Zamperini. Now, Louis was an Italian immigrant whose parents only spoke Italian and was kind of scrawny. And he was bullied. He was picked on as a child. He was beat up. And his older brother, Pete, was a little bit more of a athlete, didn't always defend him with the bullies, sometimes did, sometimes didn't. And his older brother, Pete, like most older brothers, would kind of thump on him to try to make him tougher. Daniel, you know what that's like? Yeah, that's what I thought. So sometimes what an older brother will do is thump on a younger brother in an effort to make him tougher. I'm not necessarily recommending that. But that was a part of Louis's story. Now, Louis, his older brother, Pete, was an athlete, a track athlete, and an amazing athlete. And what his brother would do is have him run with him to train. But then what happened is that Louis got better than his brother. Well, what? Yeah. Louis got better than his older brother. In fact, Louis, at the age of 19, still to this day, is the youngest Olympian to ever qualify as an American in long-distance running. Louis competed in the 5,000 meters. Louis was an amazing athlete, and then World War II happened. Louis went into the military. Louis was in one of these combat airplanes, and Louis was... long story short, his airplane was shot down, and they crashed in the ocean. They were fighting in the, this is in the Asia-Pacific theater of World War II. Louis and he with two crewmates originally, 47 days at sea in a little raft. 47 days and nights out on the ocean. And that included Japanese planes coming and strafing them, shooting bullet holes in the raft, trying to kill them. They caught little fish. After a while, they figured out how to catch little fish. And they actually caught two albatross as well. And the fish and the albatross helped them, helped he and one. One of them died, but he and another survive. And they were rescued by the Japanese military. And for the next 40 plus days, after surviving 47 days, almost no food and water, they were tortured for more than 40 days, interrogated by the Japanese military. More than 40 days in their weakened state, beaten over and over and over, beaten within an inch of their life. And then they were moved from that part to another prisoner of war camp. And Louis spent weeks and weeks and weeks where he was being, well, in one of the focus of the movie, which missed some of the most important parts of his life, but he was targeted by a particular Japanese officer who was one of the most notorious Japanese soldiers that did horrible things during the war. He targeted him because he found out that he was an Olympian. And he targeted Louis and beat Louis and put him through everything that he could. The war came to an end and they were freed. And after the war, Louis would have nightmares. He would have nightmares about strangling his captors. He would see their faces and he would dream about killing them. And he was going, now we call it post-traumatic stress disorder. He had been tortured. He had barely survived. When he was on a raft, he cried a desperate prayer and said, God, if you'll get me out of this, I will live for you. Well, like many people, he forgot about that prayer. And he's going through this time of depression, this time of anger, and these nightmares over and over and over. And he became an raging alcoholic, completely drinking, completely out of control, trying to numb his pain completely, no help to his wife. And one night his wife went to a Billy Graham crusade and she gave her life to Jesus. And over the next couple days, she hounded Louis over and over and over. Louis, who survived 47 days at sea by choosing positive thoughts, by choosing faith, had hit rock bottom. She hounded him, and he came. And then he remembered, as he listened to Billy Graham speak, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus. Louis remembered his prayer on that raft, and he rededicated his life to Jesus. And what happened that night is that God led him to forgive those Japanese soldiers that beat him and tortured him and held him captive. And he never had nightmares again. And he never drank again. And he became a good husband and a good father. And he set up a campground for troubled boys, particularly in urban environments that didn't have family structure, that needed help. He set up a campground, and then he became a speaker. And he became so successful in meeting the needs of others that he bought this home in the Hollywood Hills. And that's actually how he met Angelina Jolie. Was there her neighbor, believe it or not. He died last year at 97 years old. But one of the most significant things in his life is not only did, through God's grace, he have energy and endurance that is talked about in many ways of his life as record-setting human endurance by the grace of God, but he also had strength in forgiveness. You remember World War II, right? In the early 1940s, what happens? In 1950, Louis is finally granted the ability to go back to Japan and to those prisoner of war camps, and he granted the ability to find each of the soldiers that had beat him, tortured him, and captured him. Had been his captors, and he forgave them face to face. All but the one. The one who focused on him, whose focus of the movie, he refused to meet with him. But many of the Japanese soldiers that Louis met with face to face and forgive them, gave their lives to Jesus, and were a part of God's grace in Japan. We love Japan. We have sister churches in Japan, a part of our network. A lot more I could say about that, but Louis' forgiveness of those Japanese soldiers are a part of the most notable parts of his life, which of course are hardly the subject of the movie. His relationship with Jesus Christ was and has always been and is now, as he is in heaven, vibrant and alive and the true source of his energy, his endurance, and his forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, real strength is possible. It's possible. It's possible. Are you with me? I just, for the sake of time, I'm going to put a few scriptures up on the screen. Psalm 138, verse 3. These are faith statements that you can make and they're up online as well if you want to read them on your phone or print them out. God encourages me by giving me strength. It actually says, as soon as I pray, you answer me and you encourage me by giving me strength. God encourages me by giving me strength. Psalm 73, verse 26. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. Come on, isn't that good? No matter what's going on in your physical body, God can be the strength of your heart. You're probably familiar with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that the context of this passage is not I can go win a sporting event. The context of this passage is talking about endurance and being happy and at peace, even when life has thrown at us defeat and difficult circumstances. That's the context of this passage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have a little bit more scripture for us today, but before we move on, let me just kind of in the same spirit that we've been working in this summer, let me read you something and then ask you some questions. God is our source of strength. When we need energy and endurance, our God supplies it. Our God does not have a limited supply. Our God is not weak. We can draw from Him every day. We can rely on our Father God without fail. When we are weak, He is strong. Life-changing joy is available through Jesus. True staying power can be found in our God. Okay, now from the scriptures we've already read, talk to me a little bit. What do you hear? What do you see? What's the plain, simple truth? Anyone? God is for us. What else? Yes, He gives us strength when we don't think we have it. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, we are not limited when we have Him. Anyone else? Okay, now what this plain, simple truth, let's think for a moment. What does that mean to you? How does that apply to your life, to your own challenges? Anyone brave enough? What does that mean to you? Yes. Mm-hmm. That is so good. Even when I think it's the end, it's not. God can carry me through. Yes. Excellent.
The only thing that's required is that I be with
Him.
Mm-hmm. So this is the fellowship of God. He's strengthening me.
Yes. Yes. Now when I'm with Him, so that's a great lesson for us to take away today from this truth. God's supply is not limited. He is strong. He is for me. Even when I think it's hopeless, it's not. And if I draw from Him, I can have that strength. I need to be with Him. Yeah? Yeah? Femi. Not limited by my circumstances, but limited by my confidence in Him. Yeah, that's very good. Let's look at, if you would turn with me just real quick in our closing moments, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll see on the screen the lesson we can draw from it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. So in kind of a much discussed context of this letter, Paul is talking about a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from being proud. Verse 8, he says, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So this is Paul's response to God. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses. Well, that's not human nature. Hey, let me tell you, my eyes don't work so good. My knee don't work so good. That's not normal. But now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardship, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, this is one of those moments we have an exposure to a kingdom of God principle that is upside down world from our normal human world, right? It sounds weird. It doesn't sound correct. It sounds bizarre. It sounds upside down, inside out. Well, guess what? The way that God works is upside down, inside out. It's the way he works. What is he talking about? And Femi touched on it. It is, where is the source of my confidence? We've talked before about the illustration of taking a flight to another city, right? As Allison just flew back from South Africa, right? So if I take a flight from another city, you've ever been on a flight? I used to fly for a living, got many miles on aircraft, and many times where I sat near somebody that was white-knuckling it, afraid. I don't want to be on this thing. Now, here's the truth. Both myself, totally comfortable with flight, commercial flight, knowing that I'm more likely to die in a car than in an airplane, and the person who is afraid, we both arrived safe. Not because of the strength of our faith, but because of the source of our faith. Meaning, I stepped onto the airplane, sat down, put on a seatbelt, still not really sure about that, sat down to say, I believe this airplane will land where they said it will. Our faith in the fact that the airplane would land where it's supposed to is what got us to that destination. If we stayed at the airport, we would just be at the airport. So my confidence in God, in his strength, is what makes this work. Because who does the heavy lifting in my life? Me? No, God. It is God who does the heavy lifting in my life, and my confidence should be in him. So when I am weak, he is strong. And what some of us have been in this life long enough to know, following Jesus in the way, is that when we come up against our own weakness and yet in faith in him choose to still step out, still show up, keep showing up in our life, keep making ourselves available to meet a need, even when we feel insecure and like we don't know how we're ever going to be able to meet that need, that's when God shows up, that's when God does a miracle. We didn't wait till we had the money to move to Baltimore. We don't wait to feed the homeless and minister to the mothers of murder victims in this church until we have the money. We get out there and we do it. And guess what I have found? Money follows ministry. You know why? Because when it's his will, it's his bill. God will show up in your life when you are ready to stop and say, "Who? It is my God who is strong." Even when I feel weak, when I put my faith in him, I am strong. And guess what? You don't need to be perfect to help somebody else out in your life. You just need to be one step ahead in following Jesus. And if the Lord is your shepherd and you lead them to make the Lord your shepherd, you don't have to be the Jesus answer man. God's not waiting for you to be perfect, for you to step out and in your own weakness lead someone else to him. In our weakness, he is strong. That's how this seemingly upside-down principle works. One more. I lied, too. Isaiah 41. God will strengthen and help you. Last one. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. And I want to read this one to you. Let me turn there real quick. Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God is my strength. Can we say that together? God is my strength. It's true. It is true. In whatever state you're in today, and you may not feel the need for this message today, that's fine. You will someday. And in whatever state we are in, we can be stronger. We can have more boldness. We can have more courage to live the life that God's put before us. Am I right? Jimmy, will you come and play for us as we close? We didn't give a whole lot of time to prayer in the service today, so I want to close with just a couple of minutes for prayer and then dismiss you. I know some of us have to bolt right away, and some of us are just going to be hanging out in the neighborhood all day with Hunfest and everything else going on. But I do want to give an opportunity to pray, because I know that all of us can use more strength. Am I right? All of us can. Will you stand with me, please? Jesus is famous for a number of reasons, but one of his most famous topics we see in Luke chapter 6, Luke 6, 46 through 49. Jesus tells a story about somebody who builds their house. His example is the house is your life. Somebody who builds their house on the sand. And then when the storms come, their house is knocked down. And he contrasts that with somebody who builds their house on the rock. And he explicitly says that the rock is himself, Jesus, and our repentance and living by his teachings. He expressly says that. When we live our life, base our life, dig down to the foundation, and it takes effort, it does take work, it does take that repentance of sin, that following him, that examining what are the teachings of Jesus. But he says that when a person lives their life based on his teachings, that it is like a person who dug down to the rock and put their foundation, built their house, the house of their life on the rock, that when the storms of life came, it was not moved. One of the songs we sang this morning is from an album called We Will Not Be Shaken. I don't know about you, but we all need a little bit of that in our spirit, right? We will not be shaken. God is my strength. Amen? Let's pray. If you're here today and you'd like more strength, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you this morning. Oh God, I thank you that this truth is so plain in Scripture. It's so obvious. It's so apparent. Lord, I thank you that we can bank on the fact that you are our strength, that your supply is not limited. You never run out. You are never unable to help us. I thank you that when we are weak in you, we are strong. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you, by your Holy Spirit, would come in this place and that you would give us your strength. Strengthen us. Heal what needs to be healed. Set right what needs to be set right. Help us to repent and live by your teachings. And God, as we do, as we come into alignment with you and your church and the believers, Lord, help us to find that source of strength that is supernatural, where we will have endurance and energy and the ability to forgive in ways that people will say, what is different about you? How is it that you can stand in that strength? Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, right now, give us your strength. Help us to receive your healing and to live for you. Oh, I thank you, God. You are good. You are for us. I thank you for it today, Lord. In the name of Jesus.